Good morning, everybody. Okay, welcome back once again, okay, to the house of God. All right, now.
We are on this series called Work Redeem. Say with me, Work Redeem. And we are taking this based on this passage. All right, let's read them, okay, together. Right, ready? 1, 2, 3. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he recreated them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that move on the earth. Okay, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, today we commit all of us before you. Father, even as we wrap up this series called Word Redeemed, I ask, oh God, Lord, as we unpack that for the last 3 weekends, okay, so we ask Holy Spirit, come teach us, guide us. Okay, when we relook at our work that we have, Father, we know that you have, okay, in store great things, even as we look at the work, okay, and every day, the very thing every day that we do. We give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen. Okay, now, so with that, just to let you know, okay, again, that is the very goal that we want to do, okay, when we look at work and the work redeemed, that is to reclaim and fulfill God's original vision for work in our lives, all right, now. So by saying that, we are doing this 4 series, and we have covered all the past 3, be fruitful. That was Casey. You'll remember when we talk about work, okay, that's God's design. Why we work? Because we want to give God the glory, okay, all those that we talk about. And I talk about multiply, okay, that means we rethink, okay, everything that we do, right? We want to have bigger car, bigger house, right? Crane up, but we don't want a bigger wife. All right, no. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, now, so we know that all the things that we have, but what's the very purpose of that, all right? So we want to bless others and so on. Then we hear from Dixon, all right? Last week, Dixon was preaching on the word fuel influence, okay? Are you the influencer that God wants you to be? Today, as we talk about stewardship, okay, talk a bit of culture and all those, all right? Now, that's where I'm going to cover this on a topic called stewardship. Now, when we first read that, the passage in Genesis 1:27-28, all right, that is a creation mandate. Now, today as we talk about that, we talk about work, I also try to think that, okay, probably all of us are thinking about, okay, you have a work. You work in an office, okay, you have your own business, but some of us may not. Let me tell you, your home also got a lot of work. a lot of these principles, not only in the work basis, but sometimes when you relate to many other people around you, those principles work as well, all right? So even we are talking about work, you think through, okay, some of the things that you are, who are the people that you are relating to. So we read this scripture, and you see the word that we highlight just now, fruitful, multiply, fill. Today I'm going to talk about subdue it and have dominion. I keep on saying having communion. I'm going to do communion now. All right, now. So when we read that, it's in the very beginning, chapter 1, that's where the creation mandate was given. So in other words, we saw God created man. God blessed them. Be fruitful, multiply, fill, and subdue, and have dominion. All right, now. With this, I'm saying that when we talk about stewardship, God gave them authority. And that somehow in our daily life, right, you have a sense of authority. The sense of something that you know that you got to take charge, all right, now. Some of us are taking charge over extend, all right, now. So to extend his rule, okay, to reflect his nature and to represent his purpose in creation. So we're going to unpack this in a short moment, okay. When we say that, what does that mean, okay? And we talk about the overcoming culture, okay, as well. Now, so when we read that, if you hear me, after Genesis 1, 2, then 3, that is the fall that took place. So right after the fall, human desire has been corrupted. See, all the more that you read, and you were like reading the Old Testament, wow, and you find this murder, these things, all this, it was just crazy, okay, why the Bible read that. So to tell us that human desire has corrupted, and human has used his power to serve self and not God. Right, so today when we talk about, as we wrap up, we talk about work redeem. Okay, how are we going to redeem all those, okay, back and then giving that understanding and unpack that. Now, so to word study a bit so that we know that we say subdue, when I have dominion, what does that mean? All right, now. So, of course, when you read the original text, and when it was said, okay, during the Israelites and all those, it's in their own language. So the way they say it, they understand, all right? Just like we say, makan, makan, all right? All of us who live in this country, you hear all this word makan, sure you know how to eat. So if you were to go to another country, probably in Russia, and you say makan, you won't understand what you're talking about, all right? Probably you have to do some action, makan, makan, all right? So for us with that language, when we say makan, we understand that. So but when you say in another country, they have different language, they don't. Okay, so when the word subdue in Hebrew is kabash, it means to bring order, manage resources, exercise authority that reflects God's justice and care. All right, so in other words, when you are tasked to subdue, do we actually do that? Or we take control? Okay, we destroy another person or something like that. All right, now, the idea is not violent conquest or suppression, but bringing creation into its God's intended harmony and purpose and productivity. So we believe when God created mankind, it's not to cheat one another, it's not to harm one another. But when we read the Bible, it is, all right? Because, okay, the whole idea of subdue has been corrupted, all right? Now, when I look at the subdue, when you think about the task that's given to Adam and Eve to plow the ground, okay, to plow the ground. So when you plow the ground, how many of you love gardening? I know in pandemic days, a lot of people do gardening in the balcony. I talked to one of the husbands and said, Pastor, my balcony has become botanical garden. Better than the one that is... Okay, all right, now. So when you plow the ground, so you can imagine, when you plow the ground, you plant the seed or plant the plant, you have in mind that this plant must grow. And you will bear fruit. You have flower to bloom. I'm sure that none of us will, when you plow the ground, wow, you're so angry, I kill you. All right, now, this whatever kind of the negative mind that will come to you, no, of course, you're going to plow the ground. And this soil will be so, what do you call that word? The soil is so good, okay, that whatever they plant, and it will grow. All right, so that's the idea, okay, when God say subdue, okay, that means whatever we do, okay, you will bring fruits, all right, now, have dominion is the word of Hebrew called radah, which means to rule, to govern, to exercise, responsible authority, or govern as a steward. Now, when you think about all the things that we have, how many of you remember a phrase that we don't own everything, we don't own anything on this earth, but we are given everything to be a steward. Right? Now, it's like a shepherd who leads, protects, and provides for the flock. So to give you a picture, like when you see a shepherd, right, care for the flock, he makes sure that these sheep under his care are being protected and safe, right? All right, now, how many of you, if you have sheep, you get a cane, every day you whack your sheep so that you have dominion. No, right? We won't do that, all right? So you can see that when God says subdue it and have dominion, how God has the original intention for us, okay, to care and to protect all that God has given unto us, all right? Now, make a gear shift. So we talk about overcoming culture, all right? Look at the work culture that we have. How many of you love your company? Wow, okay, very good. Praise God. You pray for your company. Yeah? How many of you work your workplace? You like your cubicle? You like your boss? All right, now. If you are, praise God, right? But sometimes you're also in the place that, wow, you're thinking, how soon, how fast you can get out of the company? Every day is like looking at the clock and to your first one to leave, all right, now. I also live in work in a place before that people queue up. There's a clock that they, those days when I work, there's a clock where they put a thumbprint or the card, okay, to exit, right? But, okay, let's say you dismiss at 5 minutes, by 4:50, people are queuing up really, long queue. So when they hear a signal, MD is here, everybody disperse. Right, okay, now, when I saw my former colleagues, okay, when they work, when they have received signal that MD is coming, big boss coming, wow, everybody start working. I will be like standing out, okay, morning, boss. Right. And they were so afraid to leave, okay, the office and all those. I say, my work is done. I walk out and MD coming. I will say, okay, of course I called the MD's name and all those. I say, good night. Okay. Then I go, right. My colleague will be saying, GP, where are you going? Then I look at them. And then the other friends of mine say, GP, go to church. Okay, so I don't even have to answer right now. So what kind of culture that we look at right now? In ancient times, people who work, they work for survival. How many of you today, you still work for survival? We do, right? I mean, we do, all right? We need money to stay afloat, stay survive and all those. Now, when you think about ancient time, they work for survival. Now, work was largely physical labor, farming, building, crafting for survival. For them, probably their motto will be to live for another day. All right? True. But when you think about all those, it's also still happening today. All right? People work just to stay survive. Now, so in that sense, when it comes to work, people will feel that it's like a curse, a pain. Okay, it's no longer a calling. And thank God some of you sitting there, raise your hand. Wow, the morning you wake up, they're all waiting for me in the office, man. All right. So you're so happy going because you're going to meet your colleagues. You're going to meet your boss. Say, very quiet. Now, will that change? Sometimes I go to the school. I ask some of the students, okay, why do you come to school? You want to know the answer? Out of 10 to 10 or 50 to 50, none of them say they come to school to study. They come to school because I want to meet my friends. Okay. If my friend doesn't come to school, I won't come to school. What happened, okay, to our school today? Now, industrial and modern times, work has become status. As civilization advanced, work became a source of identity and status. Right? What do you do for a living? Engineer. What are you doing for a living? All right, boss. What are you doing for living? Bank manager. Okay. And how many of us? What do I for a living? I'm a janitor. How many of us be so proud to say that? Okay, have my family joke. I want to hear my family joke. Okay, my family joke is this. My three boys, my three children all start with the letter D. David, Derek, and Deborah. Then they say they all letters start with D, they are all directors. Because they will direct me what to do. My wife's surname is Cheong, and she also has an English name called Catherine. Okay, so say, mommy is a CEO. Daddy, your name starts with J. You are a janitor. All right, praise God. Okay. All right, just making fun of myself. All right, now that's what we do. All right, now. And now my name janitor has become Joker. Okay. Now, as civilization advances, we know that people, the sense of identity and status, I'm so and so. So the question is, when you are not so and so, who are you? All right, now. So industrial revolution turned people into producers and not person. So when they go to work, it's all about producing, production. When they look at human, it's no longer human. You are to work. You are paid from like 8 to 8. Non-stop. You won't see you working, all right? So they don't see you as human anymore. That's what they call the modern days slavery, all right? Now, it continues also to all those that says it's still happening, survival and status. Today's culture getting even more tedious and that performance-driven and always lead to pressure, all right? So that's where when you meet people, wow, come back, pressure. And we most of us couldn't understand what kind of pressure, okay, that each one go through, okay, in their workplace, okay, all different scenario, but the word pressure has become the commonality, okay, of many people who works. Now, leadership is marked by whom you can outperform or outshine. So every time when you're in a company, the mind at the back is like, can I outperform anyone here? Okay, outshine, you take control. Success is measured by rising above others, lording over, this creating climate of fear, ego, power play. Right? That's why when we go to work, it's like, wow, you don't know what kind of attack will come in. And sometimes I hear people, tomorrow I'm going to work, I'm going to fight, I'm going to have war. How many of you said that before? Then your neighbor left and right. That's not me. Okay, all right, okay, now. So in other words, workplace is always the the culture and the idea about how high can you go, how much can you earn, how powerful you can become. Because that's the scenario, all right? Now, that's why also they nowadays they're also giving KPI, best working place, all right? And thank God companies are working towards that to have their best place, workplace. And that's where people want to go to, right? Now, so things like you hear Google, all those. My boys, okay, when they work in a company, when they change company, say, Daddy, the place has gym. They have cafe and free. You can eat, you can drink whatever, anytime, all right? So they have sports facility even for them. So companies are looking at all those. Why? So that you continue work in the company and not go home, right? Okay. And then houses, condo are getting smaller, 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 okay? But company is getting bigger, bigger, bigger space so that you don't stay in your house. Okay, you keep on working in a company, all right? I don't know. Probably that's the idea now. Work shifter from serving others to self-promotion. Or the culture, okay, that we are in. From calling to careerism, okay? Sometimes when we think about work, not many of us become doctor, right? Because there's a calling inside that. I know of my elder brother classmate. This one's called high. If there's 10 subject, 10 A's. Okay? If there's 12 A's. If 20 subject, 20 subject. Right now, everybody, this is talking about what? 50 years ago? No, not 50 years ago. Not so old. All right, like 40 years ago. When you have a result like this, everybody is expecting the person to go for medical, become a doctor. That guy say, no, 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 I'm not going to become a doctor. I cannot go every day and say, how are you, sir? How are you, madam? Let me check. Okay, let me hear your heartbeat. He say, he is not this. He's not going to become a doctor, right? So in other words, I'm trying to say is, there are certain tasks, there are certain jobs, there are certain work. It also comes back to the person's personality and calling as well. All right, now, we live in a world obsessed with performance, power, and position. What I'm trying to say is, many times when that happens, we tend to forget, okay, the purpose that God has, okay, given us. So what is God's original design for work? How many of us realize that work is part of worship? When God created man and woman, okay, it's a way, okay, to worship God. Right, God has given them the task, okay, when Adam was to name all the animals, all right? It's a kind of worship because God has given him, okay, the anointing, or can I say that? Okay, the ability even to name, all right? Now, they're also called to tend and keep, okay, a garden, okay, that God has created called Garden Eden. And that is called God's sanctuary, okay, that every day they worship God. So they got to tend the garden. Okay, prepare the place, all right, now. So what happened when they sin? God has to kick them out from the Garden of Eden. In other words, they got kicked out from the very presence of God where they worship. That's where from that day onwards, you see mankind try to reach God and worship Him. That's where you see many, during civilization, all kinds of God, okay, that was created, all right? So it was meant to serve creation, not enslave, a steward, not dominate or abuse, is to reflect God's creativity, heart, care, and stewardship. That was the original intention, okay, when God created man and woman, okay, for work, all right? Same thing, if not working in the workplace, you're working at home, all right? When you cook, it's a work. When you cook, you cook with anger. Every day I ask my husband, I never even tell me, I ask to buy something. All right, you get angry and you cook. Well, I don't know whether you want to eat that dish or not. All right, okay. All right. I thought of one story that, real story, one of leader told me that I don't know what the wife going to cook that evening. All right, so when he came home and asked the wife, what's cooking, dear? The wife said, darling, I cook with love. Because he knew, probably not so nice, right? Better eat outside, okay? But when the wife say, I cook with love. Well, the husband have to eat, man. This is cook with love. Alright, okay. So when we know whatever that we do, and it's going to reflect God's creativity, heart, care, and stewardship, It changes, okay, the culture, home, workplace, and so on. All right, now, so as we unpack this title, now I want to connect, okay, both God's creation mandate and look at Jesus, because Jesus is the world work changer. All right, now, so I'm going to unpack or look at this passage, okay, to look at how Jesus changed the culture, okay, of workplace. All right. Mark 10, 42, verse 5. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Verse 43. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. All right? So we're going to unpack this passage. It's a familiar passage, but let's look at it right in a fresh eyes. All right? We can have different angle and all that. To that. Okay, number one. No, number one. So I'm going to say, we look at Jesus. Jesus is the world culture changer. If you want to look at anyone that changed mindset, it's Jesus. All right. So in other words, how does work redeem, okay, at our workplace? You can also say that how does work or life redeem at home? Okay, in every other level of relationship, okay, it's the principle, okay, that's work. Now, what does the world say? The world say, climb higher. How high are you climbing now? How jump are you jumping? All right. The world says, take control. Okay. Let people serve you. But Jesus said, you want to go higher? Go lower. All right. You want to be at the top? Do the go lower. Take control. Jesus said, take up the cross. And see how painful it is, what suffering is all about. He said, but he served. Jesus said, serve others. So this is like upside down kingdom kind of message, okay, that Jesus, okay, taught, okay, the people. Now, how many of us remembers hearing this phrase? Greatness is not in how many serve you, but how you serve others. Wow. Okay, so even in the home, okay, when we waiting for our parents to serve us, why not the other way around? Okay, and vice versa, all right? And see how things change, okay, even at home. Okay, three things I want to leave with all of us. Number one, Jesus redeems our motive for work. Now, each time when you wake up, you go to work, what was your motive? What's your objective? We go to work. Okay, we work. There are people who tell me, I go to work for money, lah. What else? Okay, then our neighbor left and right. Pastor, not talking about me, all right? Okay, of course we go to work. Money has become our motivation as well, right? When you are paid higher, you work harder, all right? So we know, okay, when we do that. But when you think about what Jesus says, he redeems our motive for work. So from ambition to service. Okay, what does that mean now? So when we look at verse 42, 43, verbal part, when Jesus said, it shall not be among you. So look at the motive, okay, the world and the kingdom. Now, in the world, we've always been taught, okay, how can I get there? When you look at the achievement, okay, of your colleagues or people that you know, then probably in the behind our mind is saying, how can I get there? But Jesus is saying, how can I serve? That's totally the other pendulum. Okay, the world will tell you, you must work for yourself. What about I go to work, I work for others. Okay, I'll pack a bit more. Huh? All right, now. So in the world, it's achieving status, recognition, and personal gain. But in the kingdom of God, upside down kingdom, it's about service. It's about how I can contribute. How can I add value? How can I transform workplace? Wow. Sometimes you enter a family, you're thinking, wow, you don't know whether you want to stay longer in the environment where, you know, in this family, everybody fight. You still want to continue there? Okay, your friend also become enemy. Okay, let's move on. Okay, now, James and John, that passage itself, it was these James and John brothers. They are fighting over who God get to sit the high place. The sons of Zebedee came up to Jesus and said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Sometimes our prayer like that, right? God, let me tell you what you must do. How many of us pray like that? Okay. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, that's very kind of Jesus, right? Because he's a servant king. And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Wow, what kind of request is that? Of course, you're reading on, Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Okay, now, let's move on. Huh? Now, what was Jesus doing? Jesus exposes the toxic motive. All right, and the toxic motive, and you go to work, if you are in that environment, well, you will know. Or there's somebody in the workplace, they drive to rule one. They want to be seen, okay? They want to be above everybody, okay? How many of us realize if you... Is ambition good? Yes, of course. All right, now, if ambition is without surrender, it's only lead to abuse. How many of you have environment that you're in the workplace? All right, and you know that, well, this is abuse, man, all right? And you know that you have been looked down. You know that you are... under whatever privilege that you have. Jesus came, okay, to expose, okay, the toxic motive. Jesus also called us to a new motive. That's why in that passage, Jesus was saying, Jesus came to serve and not to be served. Because Jesus, okay, is the culture changer, changing the mindset, okay, of the people. All right, now, what's our motive? When you think about all the work that we have, if we can change that, okay, work is redeemed when our motivation shifts from personal promotion to people flourishing. So that means, when you go to work, everybody wants promotion, yes? We also pray for people. You will be promoted next year, end of this year. Okay, you will have your double bonus. How many of you say amen? 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 All right, okay. End of year, okay, promoted, become manager. Amen? 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 Right now. But again, now, when you think about what Jesus says, all right, if it's just for a personal promotion, then where are we heading? So Jesus is the world culture changer. What if... when you go there, it's not about your promotion, but you want to flourish others. What if, when our work becomes a way to bless others, you go to the workplace and you want to bless? Right, talking about workplace, huh? What about in your home? Same, okay? When you wake up, it's to bless your family members, okay? You wake up, you bless your neighbor. When you see your neighbor's grass are growing, can I help you? You can cut the grass. Because if you don't cut the grass, you don't cut, a snake will come. A lizard will come. Okay, now, okay. You start to reflect the heart of God when they see you that. How many of you wake up in the morning, you see all your neighbor's car so dirty, you start washing all their car. Okay, now. Okay. Work is worship. Why? Because it's not self-promotion. Because when we work, we want to give God the glory. We want to exhibit, okay, the heart of God. So in other words, when you look at your work, you will know that you work for God, with God, and unto God. And go to amen. All right, now. I'm trying to relate some of the stories that I have, okay, in my workplace those days. Okay, people fight all the time. Department, especially the manufacturing one. You all know what I'm talking about, okay, manufacturing, okay. So, everyone wants to defend, okay, their work and all those, all right, now. Likewise, in my case, also the same, all right, now. But when I look at all those, I find that I need to change the culture. So, I will tell my workplace, your next department is your customer, right? If they are their customer, that means if they don't do well, we don't do well. So I always tell them, okay, when the next department come, you must also ask, what can I help you, right? Okay, rather than fight all over things that is only destroying our own self, all right? Now, what do we do at workplace? Okay, think about, instead of asking, how can I get ahead, ask about, how can I add value here? Who can I serve through my work today? Am I using my role to advance my name or God's name? What drives me at work? Ambition of service. When you think about all these questions, your work nature changes. All right. Let me tell you, you don't have to follow me. All right. Now, for me going to work, I will go at least an hour early. That's a minimum. Or when no one has come into work yet. Right? So when I do that, what do I do? Yes, I may spend time doing my devotion, but actually I go around. I go around, pray for all my colleagues. They hasn't come in. I pray for engineer one. I pray for engineer two. I pray for technician one. I pray for technician two. I pray for the secretary. I pray for the clerk. We are sharing place with another department, the other boss. I go near, pray for the other boss one. Okay, I work on the production floor. It's my morning prayer every day. Walk, you know, changing the atmosphere. You know, sometimes we don't see it, but it works right now. Until such, I don't know why some people will come in and call me. Okay, pastor is here. I won't become a pastor. I'm just an engineer there. All right, so. It changes because I go there, I want to add value, okay, to the workplace. Now, in Kingdom Shift will be, instead of climbing ladders, everybody wants to climb high. What if we change that and lift up others? As you go up, can I help you? Can I help you? Otherwise, you wear the top, you're very lonely. Nobody knows what you're doing. So our ambition will be, okay, if we can reflect God's heart at workplace, helping someone, okay, to reach where their dream is. Easy? Not easy. All right? Because in company, people fight all the time. So what do we learn? Jesus changes the why behind the work we have. So in other words, you find your purpose. All right? Now, let's move on. Number two, Jesus redeems our model of leadership. Now, leadership is always about control, taking charge. All right? But what if taking control change from control to compassion? So when we read in verse 43, verse 44, okay, Jesus said that it shall not be among you, but whoever will be great among you, be your servant. Now, look at the model the world has. The world equates greatness with control, more authority, more applause, more autonomy, more and more. Because you are the boss, man. Okay, you're in charge. Now, in the kingdom of God, greatness is measured by how much you serve and not much you control. No, the more you serve, how many of you realize that people were, you may think people may not respect you, but people knew that if they need any help, they go to you. All right? Now, when I changed department those days, I was promoted and I changed department to another department because the company wanted somebody, how should I put that word? Okay. To know somebody that is trustworthy over that the department, right? So when I leave my old department, that old department felt, my department is to support the production. So when I move, I'm no longer there to support them, all right? So I move on to that. And lo and behold, every day I have, okay, the supervisor of the department I serve before will come and see me. I'm like a clinic, you know. I'm the clinic. Everybody come line up. They will tell me like I issue medicine to them, right? Okay, now. So one day I was very curious. So I asked them, why you keep on coming and ask me for answers, all right? Tell you the secret. My boss asked, go and see GP. Because I know their work so well, okay? I know their problems so well, okay? That although I was in charge of the other department, they came, okay, to seek help, all right? So that was my days, okay, in the company. All right, now, what is Jesus doing? Do you realize that Jesus flipped the world leadership pyramid upside down? So what is Jesus saying? The world said the top commands the bottom. Jesus said, the top empower them to rise. Oh, that is a total different, right? But how many of us will do that? Now, number two, Jesus introduced servant leadership, all right? Which means Jesus turned hierarchy to humility. In order to do so, we got to have a sense of humility. Why do we go down, okay, to that level, okay, even to serve? The company I work with is a Japanese company, alright? They have this culture that if there's a problem, everybody involved, alright? When the production floor is down, or people don't come to work, or there is rejects, and that need to be reworked, and they don't have workers, the order came from Japanese boss will be, staff, clerk, engineer, bosses all get down to the production floor. Alright, so all of us go down the production floor and we do all this production that we are doing, right? Now, I also face people under me and they are just a technician and they refuse. You know what I said to him? I said, do you know by you behaving like this, you will not go very far, you know? Right? Okay, learning to be humility is a tough thing, alright? Now, model for leadership, when you see your leadership as stewardship, our heart change, shift. from an ego to empathy. You can feel, okay, what is happening. And competing, instead of competing with another, you will be contributing. Leadership is not about asserting power, although it is, but when you have the sense, the model is sense that you build and empowering others. It's about using authority to build, not break down. It's not lord over, but to lift others up. I remember, I know how many of you know Terrence. Terrence will be asking him to give a talk on the 15th November, all right? And he worked for the bank. He's a VP. And some of the things I hear is conversation when he hire people. And he said, what's your dream? What do you desire, okay, with this new position that you have? Okay, so Terrence will say this, I'm here to help you meet your dream. Wow, how many of you like bosses like that? To help you meet your dream, okay? Not to lord over, but to lift somebody up, all right? Instead of commanding, you begin to listen before we lead, all right? So we hear, we seek to listen. Okay, how you can make your team better, okay, and not just result-orientated. Leadership begins with that. It begins to reflect God's shepherd's heart. So you see people, because I said earlier, the ancient time, it's just work and industrial revolution come, but people has become an object, all right? So we won't see people that way. We see them as co-workers. We see them not as competitors, all right? Now, so when you look at Jesus, Jesus cared for every of the sheep. All right, he made sure that all are protected, all are in the safe place. Okay, so follow, okay, the way, okay, of, okay, Jesus. Okay, Jesus would not, okay, being the shepherd, right? It's not about letting every of the sheep going to compete. No, all right, he lead, okay, the sheep. You know what's leadership? Leadership means lead the sheep. Okay, now, Jesus changes the how of our leadership. Okay, the model changes. Now, the last one as we close. Now, Jesus redeems our means of influence. Now, influence is always about power. How much power that you have. But what, let's say if we change that to sacrifice, what does that mean? All right, now, Jesus said in verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Think about workplace. Now, you're in trouble. You have someone come alongside and said, I will take the blame. Do you know anyone like this? Then your neighbor left, right? He's talking about me. Okay. How many of us will do that? Very few. Or maybe not at all. But Jesus said, I came to give his life as a ransom for many. The world will exert influence through power. The louder the voice, the stronger the hand, the bigger the platform. But in Christ's kingdom, it's about influence flow, not from the power, but from service. If I can help you, okay, if I can give you a hand, if I can give you a listening ear, okay, if I have a helping hand, if I can lower down, okay, my posture to be where you are, oh, this is really upside down kingdom, all right? Now, I don't know, am I saying this? I don't know how practical is that to you, but let me tell you, when I say this in my place, most of the things I've done. All right, now, Jesus' model influence through surrender by laying down his hand. Jesus is the best example. His influence came not from a throne of power. So that's why people cannot understand why, okay, the Messiah, the King, okay, come to serve, why the King has to die, okay, because his power came from the cross of sacrifice. Jesus modeled by using his authority not to take, but to serve and give. That's where he gave his life a ransom for many. Amen? All right? Tell your neighbor left, right, who has ever died for you? Means of influence, Jesus showed us, okay, sacrifice. Jesus showed his disciples the means. Doesn't come from position, but a posture. That's why in the same passage, it's about Jesus showing the better way by kneeling down, washing the feet of the disciple, and giving his life. The passage, okay, that we already know. Okay, all right, to kneel down. Can you imagine your MD came down to your department and serve you? And all of us experience that, right? Our father, mother, clean for us, tidy out, bake, cook for you, our parents serving us, right? Now, can you imagine now we grow up the same thing, expecting CEO came down to serve you. And if your CEO were to do that, wow. I know I really like the Japanese culture. My there's a time when we he get us to Japan, alright. I know this is the MD, alright. He had his car to drive us and bring us back to hotel. And to go through that passage, the car cannot go in. Me and the other colleague, alright, we said, arigato gozaimasu, okay, alright, we walk back. Our MD to say, no, okay, he walked with us. He's much older, old man, he walked with us. Right until our hotel doorstep. Arigato, arigato. Okay, alright. So can you imagine the MD himself, so much respected, do the same thing, alright, for us. So what do we do at workplace? Think about this. When it seems like that posture of Jesus, okay, caused him, but yet that posture of kneeling down, washing the feet of Jesus, transformed life. Peter's life was turned around. So question for all of us, think about your workplace or home. Will you be willing to take the hard road when everybody choose not to? When you take the hard road means you don't know where your position will be, okay, in a company. Will you stand for truth even when it costs you? When everybody follow doing the wrong way that you know, but were you willing to stand the truth? May risk, okay, your position in a company. Will you use your influence power to restore and reconcile, not to intimidate and impress? Wow. Jesus turned, okay, the world upside down. World culture, this is the world culture changer that we can learn, okay, from him right now. Penang Bridge. Now, so when we are in those places, you know, I'm not saying that you don't become manager in high places. When you are there, when you have that power to connect both world, the world and the kingdom of God, would you be the connecting bridge, okay, to bring the truth, okay, to the world, okay, that you live in? Jesus changes the way we use power. Good, amen? All right, huh? I hope you learned something today. All right, yeah. So as I close, what did Jesus do to help us rethink, word redeem? Think about motive. Does that change our ambition now? Instead, I'm going, okay, for my glory, to achieve whatever, but I go there, I want to serve. So greatness is not how high we climb, but how deep we serve. Wow, changes. Okay, our model of leadership, from control to compassion. When you see others, can I lift you up? Can I help you? You want to manage? Can I help you to become a manager? Oh, it changes, right? Now, one story was when I worked in the manufacturing company for 7 years. In that 7 years, the third year I was promoted. After that, I got three promotion altogether. All right, now. When I got promoted, one of my colleagues said that, well, GP, I worked here 10 years, you know. I not even get one promotion. Now, prior to that, when my manager asked me about end of the year, asking me in, okay, interview me to promote me. You know what I said to my manager? I said, boss, you don't have to promote me. Okay. We have a lot of colleagues all waiting to be promoted, and they've been there for years. You promote them. My boss got a shock of his life. Then he said, no, I don't want to promote them, I want to promote you. I said, okay lah. Okay, all right. You know why? Because at the third year, I already have in mind when is the year I'm going to resign, and then I'm going full time. Alright, so every year is a year when I'm going to decide, I'm going to say goodbye, alright, I move on, okay, to serve God full time. That's why I'm telling him, no, don't need to promote me, okay, promote others. But 1 year after another year, so I got my promotion, okay, and just amazing, okay, how God works. Alright, okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, today I commit all of us before you. Father, even as we talk about work, and how work has been redeemed, and looking back, okay, the original intention of God, And you also know, okay, the Bible tells us about Jesus. Jesus was saying, till today, she is still working. And you do not want any one of us slack in our workplace. And Father, today I pray, Father, when we look at the work that we have, it changes our mindset, it changes our heart, because, okay, we want to reflect, okay, God's heart, okay, in our life and also for others around us. Father, help us, oh God, Lord, when we think about the motive of work, when we think about the model of leadership, when we think about the means, okay, when we achieve things, help us, oh Lord, okay, to be a one, okay, that exemplify and redeem, okay, the workplace and change, okay, the culture that we have, okay, that we are in. Father, today I give thanks once again. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody say, Amen. All right, let's give Jesus a big hand. You learn something. All right, okay.